All right. This is going to be episode 40 of the ABCs of Rock, emptying the vault, the letter W. All right. Here we go. Got my water, got my bamboo, got GarageBand open. All right. Life is good. Here we go. Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Shore. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. Love those guys. Thank you for joining me on my journey through the alphabet from A to Z. We're getting really close to Z, aren't we? Where each week I move on to the next letter in the alphabet and I pick a new band or musician going in alphabetical order with no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this show. The musicians or the music labels own the copyrights. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here on this podcast, and I ask for you to go out and purchase their music or legally stream it. The musicians need your support, and I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. So welcome back to the show and for episode number 40 and for another Emptying the Vault episode. I really love these. And this week is going to be an interesting one. Lots of oddities I'm going to be playing for you. And, you know, you're going to have to forgive me as I record this because you will be listening to this episode shortly, but I'm recording this a day after all the chaos that took place in Washington, D.C., which was yesterday on the 6th of January. And wow, it shook me. And, you know, I don't really get political on this show or get very personal in how the world events have affected me. But, you know, I considered just pushing off this whole episode altogether because it was really hard to muster up the energy to put the show together. But, you know, music had to win out, I realized, because it puts me in a good mood. I think it puts everyone in a good mood. And at the end of the day, we all need our outlets to distract us from some of the hardships and the sadness that is happening in this world right now. I hope this show brings a smile to your faces. And during this very, very scary time, I don't know what's going to happen over the next couple weeks. I do have a lot of concerns, but, you know, we all do our best to make the best of every day. And I hope, again, this show is a nice distraction to all that is going on in the world. So I'm not going to get too much deeper than that, but yeah, it was hard. It was hard. Getting myself in this chair this week. But here I am doing it, and we're going to have a good time. So anyways, let's get going. And again, I'm going to kind of wing this episode because I typically do kind of write a script for these. It's kind of a loose bunch of notes. And, you know, as I was kind of assembling the show, I usually do it the day before. And of course, I was glued to the TV yesterday and it was really hard to focus on things. So this week might seem a little more disjointed, but, you know, you're gonna have to forgive me because, it is what it is. First artist we're going to talk about this week is, the one and only Joe Walsh, and, who has one of the weirdest careers in the music industry. He got his break back in the 1960s. He played with bands such as the Measles, the Ohio Express, James Gang, and of course the Eagles. And a lot of people associate him with only the Eagles. But he was actually only with the band for about just two albums, I think. But no band could contain his rock and roll lifestyle that followed Joe Walsh wherever he went. So a majority of his work is that of a solo artist, actually. And his albums can be hit and miss. I have a handful of them, and I like some, and some are so-so. One I do have, that I do have a heck of respect for, is his big 2012 comeback album. And I call it a comeback because it was his first studio album in 20 years when it came out. And it's, for the most part, it's really decent, completely fell under the radar. But if you remember one of the singles that came off of it, so here I am already breaking my first rule of Fight Club. I'm going to play the self-titled lead single from this 2012 album called Analog Man, because really, folks, it's not like you're going to hear this anywhere else these days. So let's play Analog Man, which was the lead single. Hope you enjoy.
Smart ass
So, who remembers when post-punk bands were taking over the world in the early part of this millennium? Bands like the Featureheads, Hot Hot Heat, the Bravery, the Rakes, and I think maybe even the Editors. I was fully in the bag with this scene. What can I say? One of those bands that really stood out to me, and it was these guys from Berkeley, California, who formed in 2000 and called themselves We Are Scientists. In later years, they've fallen off the map with me just a little, but when they burst into the scene with their first couple albums, especially their debut with Love and Squalor, it was right up my alley. The entire album is spastic and fun, and that lead single, Nobody Move, Nobody Get Hurt, is pop perfection. All the songs in here are great, but let's go with this little gem titled Cash Cow.
Taking my time, slow going's nothing new to me. I've been taking my time, slide up, just drop everything.
When Wolfmother burst into the scene around 2005, so we're sticking around the same time period, I don't think anyone was expecting it. A band that so closely resembled 70s heavy metal acts like Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath couldn't be further away from what was probably popular on the charts at the time. I mean, think like Britney Spears and Beyonce were leading the charge at that time. But several of their singles got significant radio play, like Joker and the Thief and Woman, making them one of the unlikeliest success stories of the decade. I love Wolfmother, and their debut album is, in my opinion, one of the greatest albums of all time. Andrew Stockdale, of course, is the creative force behind the band. His vocals are perfect for this type of music. I seriously never understood some of the backlash of this band. Lots of people out there get frustrated with these guys for being imposters or being unoriginal because they are mimicking a past error. I mean, screw that. If you think that, then just check out this song because it'll blow you away. This is one of the best songs from their debut album, Colossal.
I saw the
Johnny Winter is a true definition of the American guitar slinger. Both his and his younger brother Edgar Winter's careers dates all the way back to the 60s. I'm going to lose all of my Johnny Winter cred when I say this, but I'm not the biggest fan of his early work. Those early albums in the late 60s, early 70s, I've never been able to get into. But something about his later output, especially his work in the 80s, is completely my jam. Something about the 80s production sound just totally works. It's got that Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eric Clapton vibe going for it, as you know, and I'm a big fan of that sound. His 1984 record, titled appropriately Guitar Slinger, is loaded with Texas blues. It's so rich you can practically smell the booze on the CD. His cover of Lonnie Brooks' Don't Take Advantage of Me is an album highlight. Let's give it a listen. right, time for some classic new wave, Kim Wilde style. So many out there are only familiar with her for her hit song, Kids in America, which came out off her debut 1981 self-titled album. In fact, her first three albums are some of the absolute best synthy new wave of the era, and her catalog is grossly underappreciated. I'm going to play something from that classic period, but I don't want to do so without mentioning that even to this day, Kim is putting out some very cool music. Her latest album, Here Come the Aliens, is incredible. I actually debated playing something off of that. It's got so much attitude, and it rocks pretty hard at times. What's kind of interesting is that Kim Wilde works nearly exclusively with her younger brother, Ricky Wilde, who co-writes many of the songs with her and performs many of the instruments, but takes really none of the credit. They should really be known as the band Wilde. Anyways, let's take it back to something from her early catalog, her second album, just as good, if not better, than her first album. Her second one is titled Select, and this is one of their best. This is Action City. We're at the halfway point in the show, which is a great time to mention that the ABCs of Rock is part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. Please don't hesitate to share with me your feedback of the show. I really love hearing from listeners. You can always email me at abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. I also can be found on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. So give it a follow or reach out to me and let me know that you're out there and listening. Also, if you have a chance, please take a moment and rate and review the show on your preferred podcast app. It may seem insignificant, but every single rating or review adds up and helps this podcast find a larger audience. I thank you all in advance. All right. White Zombie is an American horror metal and industrial metal band that formed in the mid-80s. They took their name from the 1932 horror film. Actually, it might surprise some that the wave of zombie films of the late 60s and 70s, zombies weren't the brain-eating, decomposing corpses you see nowadays. But then, back then, they were more or less people under the spell of a voodoo curse. Sort of a trance where their masters could control them and do their bidding. Anyways, I digress. I'll admit, I'm not a completist with all of White Zombie or in Rob Zombie's albums. But during this period, during the mid-90s, they were on top of the world with both of their albums, Sexorcisto, Devil Music Volume 1, and their follow-up Astro Creep 2000. Actually, the full title is Astro Creep 2000, Songs of Love, Destructions, and Other Synthetic Delusions of the Electronic Head. Had to get all of that in there. It's the album that put White Zombie on the map for me, and later I subsequently went back and got their prior album. For a chunk of the decade, I was completely invested with White Zombie, as well as bands like Marilyn Manson and what else? Power Man 5000, actually, I think is his younger brother, if I'm not mistaken. You can't go wrong with the Astro Creep album if you want to shake the cobwebs out in the morning. Going to pick a song with the greatest title from any song from the decade. You may know where I'm going with this if you're a fan. Here is one that I love. This is El Fantasmo in the Chicken Run Blastorama. All right, switching up gears here on the ABCs of Rock, because that's what I do. Maybe White Zombie isn't your cup of tea, but this could be. One of my favorite guitarists of all time is the late, great Link Wray, born Fred Lincoln Wray Jr. His father was half Cherokee and his mom was Shawnee. Link was a pioneer of the 1950s rockabilly surf rock sound that spread like wildfire at the time. And for my money, he was the king. I know there'll be Dick Dale defenders out there, and his playing is probably better. I actually saw Dick Dale live, and it was an incredible concert. But Link just had the it factor that made him not just a guitar legend, but a genius at arranging and constructing songs better than his contemporaries. At least, I think. And unlike a lot of those contemporaries, Link was able to continue on in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and continued to put out some great albums. And I kid you not, when I say his 1997 album, his final album, is really great, I really mean it. It's titled Shadow Man. It's powerful, primal, and taps right into the true essence of rock and roll. The opening track is titled Rumble on the Docks. And with a title like that, you can't ignore the obvious reference to his younger days. Get comfy, everyone. Link delivers an epic here, 7 minutes and 27 seconds, but worth every second. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Steve Winwood has one of the most unlikely music careers. First of all, the guy has worked with just about everyone in the industry at some point. He must hold some record for the number of bands or albums he has contributed to. I don't know. In the 60s, he had stints with the Spencer Davis Group, Traffic, and Blind Faith. Speaking of Traffic, there's a band that is a major blind spot for me. I really should check out some more Traffic when I get a chance. Anyways, the 80s hit, and now we're, 15 years into his recording career, and album after album, he's churning out top 40 hits, one after another throughout the decade. So I got a great song here that I think you'll like. And I know that there will be some people here that will automatically... And I know that there are some people here that will be automatically turned off that I'm even considering playing a Steve Winwood song. I just ask that you give it a chance. He's got some really decent stuff out there. From his 1980 album, Ark of the Diver, this is Spanish Dancer. Thank you. So for the second Emptying the Vault episode in a row, I'm finding a way to squeeze in Scott Weiland into the show. And there's nothing wrong with that, I say. Man, what a talent he was, and such a sad waste of it in the end. But really, he gave us so much. 6 STP albums, 2 Velvet Revolver albums, 1 with Art of Anarchy that I'll admit I haven't even listened to yet. Although, I have to admit, I'm kind of skeptical because when I heard that they replaced Scott Weiland with Scott Strapp, I was immediately turned off to the idea of the band. So I don't know. Maybe somebody could tell me if it's any good. I don't know. But he also put out very much under the radar several solo albums. The one from 2007 titled Happy in Galoshes, I admit I haven't given a fair shake. I think I've only listened to it a few times, and it didn't leave a big impression on me. But his 1998 album, 12 Bar Blues, is a 90s underrated gem and totally worth picking up. I bet you can actually find it in the dollar bin these days, which doesn't reflect at all its quality. The songs aren't all great, but definitely a lot more hits than misses, and I do recommend it overall. I was actually going to play the song, Lady, Your Roof Brings Me Down, on the album. But then after some research, I realized that it was on the soundtrack of the 1997 film Great Expectations with Ethan Hawke and Gwyneth Paltrow. And it was a rather popular single. So I'm going to go with my second pick, and it's a kick-ass song still. This is Jimmy Was a Stimulator. I do hope you're enjoying this week's show. I truly love mixing up on these Emptying the Vault episodes, and it gives me the opportunity to dig deep into my library of music and find some real nuggets. So thank you for joining me. There is nearly no greater joy in life that I have than to assemble these podcasts for you, the listener. Once again, I can be reached via email at abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com, on Facebook at abcofrockpodcast, and on Twitter at abcrockpodcast. So hit me up. Even better, like I said before, leave a rating or review on your preferred podcast app. And this will be the first on the ABCs of Rock, because it will be the first time I have played an artist twice on a show. You'll have to go all the way back to the third episode I ever published. Not episode 3, but it was a bonus episode that I did. Back in early April 2020, we lost a legend, Bill Withers. And it hit me hard. And I had just started my podcast. And at the time, I decided that it was a trendy thing to do to put out tribute episodes to recently deceased musicians. Well, I found it hard to keep up with that trend, especially this past year. I did it for one other episode, but I may get back to it at some point. Anyways, we lost the great Bill Withers last year, but his music lives on. The song I'm going to play isn't some obscure song of his, but sadly, so much of his music is simply overlooked by the world. I mean, seriously, this guy is so much more than just Lean On Me, Ain't No Sunshine, and Just the Two of Us. The song I'm going to play was actually a huge hit at the time, but I think is largely forgotten, or at least not nearly as appreciated as it should be nowadays. Bill Withers' music was always full of heart. His music was honest and an expression of love, hope, and strength. There will never be another Bill Withers. Let's listen to this great song. It's funky, it's electric, and it's full of passion. Playing at the show with Use Me. Have a great week, everyone.
figure.